Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
It's watched by 150 million kids around the world, and this year celebrates its 50th birthday. Sesame Street has been beloved by generations of children and was born out of what at the time was a radical idea, that children could learn from television. On the line is executive producer with Sesame Street, Ben Lehman. Ben, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thanks for taking our call today. I suppose when Joan Cooney and Lloyd Morissette founded it, people thought television was a terrible thing for children, that it would rot their minds.
Well, something along those lines. Joan is famous for saying that she was observing kids watching TV and they would repeat beer jingles. They would sing along to them. And that was the moment that gave her the idea, well, if they can learn beer jingles, maybe they can learn something more profound from a television show.
And so in those initial days, and perhaps we can talk about how that mission, if you like, has spread out or has expanded over the years. But in the early Sesame Streets, was it about teaching them their letters and teaching them their colors and their numbers and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, originally it was very much about literacy and numeracy, learning to count, learning the alphabet, learning colors, learning shapes. The show has evolved a lot. We still value those skills very much, but every year we kind of we convene a panel of experts and look at the needs of kids. You know, for me specifically in the U.S., because that's the show I oversee, but for the co-productions, we have local experts in different countries, and they look at the needs of kids, and, you know, we kind of create the curriculum for the show that way.
And I suppose part of what Sesame Street is about nowadays is teaching the children who watch it about the world around them, about the different sorts of people who live in that world around them.
Absolutely. You know, the show premiered in 1969, and it was the height of the civil rights movement in the United States. And so the beginning of the show was very much around diversity and inclusion and issues of learning from people who might be different from you. So that's very much the mission of the show. We've always been about kindness and about, just because someone is different from you, it doesn't mean you shouldn't treat them the way you want to be treated.
And so, say, a few examples of that would be Julia, who's in the American version of the show. Tell us about Julia.
Yes. Yeah, so Julia is a young girl who's on the autism spectrum, and she recently moved to Sesame Street. And, she doesn't learn or communicate the same way as some other kids, but she's just part of the gang, and she's friends with Elmo and Abby and Cookie Monster, and she learns in a different way than some other kids, but she's just part of the group.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and I didn't know this, is that how many, if you like, regional versions of Sesame Street are there now?
Wow, how many regions? I mean, I think the show is watched in something like 120 countries. Some of those versions are dubbed versions. Some of them are, versions that have some local content and some other content. I think active regional versions, there's probably 15 at any given time. There's a show in Bangladesh right now. There's a show in India. There's a show in South Africa. Mexico, for example.
In all of those shows, are there characters that you develop specially for those countries?
Very much so. So in India, for example, one of the focuses of the show is around girls' education. So there's an adorable Muppet named Chomky, who's a young girl who goes to school and loves learning, and she's kind of like an education detective. So she was created specifically for that show because the producers of that show felt like that was an area that needed to be focused on.
Yeah, and in another example of that being in South Africa is Cammy.
Yes, absolutely. Cammy is an HIV-positive Muppet. As you know, that's a huge issue in South Africa. So she was created to destigmatize and to let kids know you can still be friends with someone who has, you know, who's HIV positive. Mm. They just have a condition that might be different from yours, but they're still. They can be included.
And those local versions of Sesame Street, how does that work in terms of, if you like, the master copy of the show? Do they shoot scenes that are then inserted into Sesame Street, or how does that work?
So we recently had some of the international Muppets come and visit the U.S. show, and we tried to, you know, share assets across productions. But most of these international versions of the show produce their own, you know, we will send like our master puppeteers and our master directors and writers and work with the local producers, but then they're very much making their own show. You know, we participate in the process, but we also, you know, let the local producers make their, they know their audience the best.
Right, okay, but say those local shows will have Big Bird and Cookie Monster and all,
yes,
the characters that they'd know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the you know, yes, exactly. Elmo is featured in many of the shows, and, you know, and then sometimes the producers will have a fun idea, like in Mexico, there's a big giant bird who is green, whose name is Abelardo, and he's actually Big Bird's cousin.
Ah, right, okay, that's very clever. The amount of characters that there are in Sesame Street, does that grow every year? And if it does, do then you have to consider, well, what characters do we have to sideline a little bit?
That does happen. You know, obviously we're lucky to be a show that's been around for 50 years. It's miraculous. And so every year we have, you know, we still work with the Henson Company. They make and build the puppets, and they keep this giant inventory, and we distribute it to the writers at the start of every season so they can see, you know, what characters they have access to. The fact of the matter is kids love the Sesame Street characters, and they obviously, everyone has their favorite, Elmo, Abby, Cookie Monster, Big Bird for others. So we do have to focus on those. So that, you know, that's one of my biggest challenges is trying to be inclusive of all the characters, but also making sure kids get the experience they want with their favorite characters.
And the show, of course, is that when you're putting episodes together and scripting it, there's a lot of testing scripts and talking to educationalists and experts. At the start of every production year, Ben, do you kind of draw up a list of these are issues we want to tackle this year?
Absolutely. We actually have an education team on staff here, and every year the way we start a season is they convene a panel of experts. You know, they'll have done their research and talked to educational experts and decided, for example, this year our curriculum is around the joy of learning, but also that failure is a part of learning, and it's okay to make mistakes, because a lot of kids are very afraid of making mistakes, and we wanted to kind of embrace that. But what they'll do is they'll convene a panel of experts. We'll do a full-day seminar with all the writers, all the producers, and all the other areas of the company, too, because, you know, this touches books and products and other initiatives. And then they will kind of disseminate that information to all the writers, and that'll be the kickoff for, you know, how do we develop these important topics?
Mm. Is there ever any, or are you aware of any pushback against some of the themes in Sesame Street? Not everyone, for instance, is that keen on diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess one of the classic stories is when the show premiered in 1969, Mississippi refused to air it at first because they were a little freaked out by the diversity in it. I know that there were also some hand-wringing around Cammy as an HIV positive. She's not on the U.S. show, but it's still created some agitation.
Right, okay. And yeah, because I suppose that's a notable thing about the show, is that right from the start, there was diversity on Sesame Street, where there probably wasn't much else of it elsewhere on US TV screens.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it was truly a revolutionary idea, and Joan and Lloyd, the founders, very much said, you know, this is an experimental show. We're not sure what we're doing, and every year they try to imbue that spirit within the show that yes, we have a very specific mission to help kids grow smarter, stronger, kinder, but we're also experimenting and trying to feel our way. Is this the right way? And, you know, of course, you have to break eggs to make an omelet.
And at the start of every production cycle, it must be a huge undertaking given the amount of puppeteers and researchers and writers, set builders, etc.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a massive group of people. Of course, some of them have literally been here for 50 years. You know, Carol Spinney, who is the gentleman who originated both the character of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street, and only just officially announced his retirement this past fall in 2018, he has literally been on the show for 50 plus years. He will be in the upcoming 50th season that premieres this year. And so that is, you know, that's a huge advantage, is to have people who have so much knowledge and so much talent and have been there for so long. It makes the road to launching the show a lot easier to have all those people around you.
And is it still filmed in the same place?
It is. It's currently filmed in Queens in Kaufman Astoria Studios, which is actually a great story of its own. It's the old United Artists Studios. It was built in the 20s, but it has moved a couple of different places. It started on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and it migrated. I've personally been with the show 17 years, and it's always been at the same studio, now going on 20-plus years at least.
During the last presidential election, one of the ideas that was being floated around was perhaps to withdraw some or perhaps even all of the funding for NPR. Obviously, Sesame Street was kind of injected against its own will into the centre of that debate. Is that threat still hanging over you, or was that just electoral puff?
It was, I think, the latter. You know, right now we don't actually get, I mean, obviously PBS, the U.S. public television, is a huge partner of ours.
Sorry, yes, PBS,
but
also not NPR.
On HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah. And HBO is our first window. We premiere on HBO and then we go to PBS. And we don't actually currently get any funding from public television. So we get injected in those conversations because we're so visible. But actually, that's not where our funding comes from.
Okay, well, that is a comfort, and I'm sure many people would be relieved to hear that. Ben, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Ben Lehman there, his executive producer with Sesame Street. And obviously an awful lot of people listening were delighted to hear that because they grew up listening or watching to Sesame Street. Jim says, as a young child watching Sesame Street, I remember learning Spanish words like salida, entrada and aguilla. That got my out of many a tight corner in Kilkenny in the early 70s. I fail to see how knowing Spanish would get you out of a tight corner in Kilkenny. Jean in Cork says, as a child growing up in the 70s, I loved Sesame Street. I got Bert and Ernie from Santa one year. I wanted to keep them perfect so much that they were never taken out of their boxes. I wonder if they're worth anything today. Eddie says, Oscar the Grouch is my favourite. I loved how grumpy he was. I was a grumpy kid too, so I could relate. Sylvie says, I remember getting up on Saturdays ready to watch it at 11 a.m. I still adore it. No idea where you can watch it on TV now, but I watch it on YouTube with my daughter. New traditions for everyone. She says, well, I think you can watch bits of it online, but I think that the entire program is on TG Cahir. In this country, so that's where you'd get to see it. Anna says, 50 years of Sesame Street. I turned 50 this year. It feels like we grew up together. Some of my best childhood memories, says Anna. And someone else says, I'm 42 from Ohio and grew up with Sesame Street. I learned there are Latino people in other neighbourhoods, as my neighbourhood was mostly black. Numbers 1 to 10, hello and water in Spanish. Learned you can be grouchy like Oscar and people still like you, and that it was okay to be really tall like Big Bird. Thanks, Sesame Street. Well, that's a hell of a lot of things to remember, and it's good to know. Right, and sticking with the theme of Sesame Street, I'm delighted to say that one of the stars and residents of Sesame Street is on the line. Cookie Monster, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sean.
It's lovely to talk to you, Cookie.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much. Can you remember, Cookie Monster, when you first ate a cookie?
Oh, me remember that first cookie like it yesterday. Yes, me whole life changed after that.
Before that, what
me
did...
Me little baby, Cookie Monster.
Yeah, before
yeah, me
that...
me was a little baby.
Yes. And before that, what did you eat before cookies?
Oh, that was it. That the first thing we ever ate, a crushed up,
right,
mushy cookie.
Okay, so you didn't, because
yes.
I was wondering if before the cookies, you ate cookies, what was your name? Because you wouldn't have eaten cookies, so you wouldn't have been a Cookie Monster then. Is that when you became Cookie Monster?
That, yes, while you're going deep into the history, yes, that's right. Me had me first taste of cookie when me little baby, and from then on, me Cookie Monster.
And what's your favorite cookie?
Chocolate chippy.
What's your second favorite
classic
cookie? What's your second?
Oatmeal raisin.
Oatmeal raisin is nice too. And do you eat other
oatmeal
things?
Raisin.
Yes. Do you eat other things apart from cookies?
Of course we do. Me, you know, one cannot live on cookies alone. Me like fruits and vegetables. Me like meat and chicken, and me could eat a bicycle now and then, and me like delicious canoe.
Mmm, canoe.
Me a healthy eating monster. Yeah.
Who's your favorite person on Sesame Street?
You know, it's really hard to pick favorites. Me not like to pick a favorite, but we got lots of friends on Sesame Street. You know, Elmo and Big Bird and Ernie and Bert and Grover. Yeah, they all need best friends.
Okay. Out of all those people,
yeah,
who gives you the most cookies?
Oh, well, me like to go down to Hooper's store and get cookies. Yeah, and that's where Alan works and Chris. And me apartment is right above Hooper's store, so me can get down there pretty quickly.
And of all the people who have been, all the celebrities who've been on Sesame Street and that you've met, is there anyone you'd still like to come on Sesame Street and maybe sing a song with?
Oh, boy. Sure, me would love to meet Paul McCartney. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
He's never been on Sesame Street. Do you have any connection to him? You got any pull? Can you give Paul a call?
I'll do my best, but I can't promise anything.
Oh, thank you.
Cookie Monster, okay. It's been absolutely lovely to talk to you today. That's Cookie Monster there, as you know, 50-year service on Sesame Street, and doesn't look a day over 49.